Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and you may remember the recent news that in Little Italy, there aren't really any Italians left. U.S. Census numbers show that the geographic area of Manhattan that was once the home to a large population of Italian immigrants now has very few residents of Italian origin, though still a lot of restaurants. Chinatown has creeped up from the south and gentrification from the north and east to eat Little Italy. This got us thinking then, what's the new Little Italy? And is Chinatown even the Chinatown, given the huge growth in Chinese immigrant populations in Brooklyn and in Queens? A lot of these littles were named a century ago, when particular immigrant groups came through Ellis Island and settled in strictly defined parts of the city. So it's time to explore the new littles. Each Thursday this month, we'll be looking at the shifting nature of New York's immigrant populations and introduce you to some ethnic enclaves you might not know about. In a bit, we'll talk with Jeff Yang about the changing nature of Chinatowns, plural, around the five boroughs. But first, our guide to the new littles all month long, Andrew Beveridge, professor of sociology at Queens College and the CUNY Graduate Center and the man behind Social Explorer, a great site that crunches census data. Andrew, welcome back to the show. Thanks for doing this.
Very happy to do it, Brian. I think this is a very interesting idea that you had.
I guess you buy the premise. The existing list of littles needs an update.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely true. In fact, when you were talking about Chinatown, I remember the first project we did for the New York Times, it was done by Bruce Lambert, and was the headline was a festival that Marco Polo would love, and it was back in the early 90s when the Chinese had started encroaching on Little Italy.
Are you, listeners, a member of one of these new littles? Give us a call. If you live in a dense immigrant community that you think warrants a nickname, let us know. Are you a member of Little Lima, Little Laos, Little Santiago? If you want to nominate a new little, the phones are open, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, this project is really a community collaboration, because what we've done is posted some raw census data that, Andrew, you have provided us for our website. We on the show spent all day yesterday exploring the numbers, and we want people to do the same. But first, what is this data set?
Well, this is data, and actually this is one of the major misconceptions about the 2010 census. This data is actually from something called the American Community Survey, which is the census's replacement for what used to be called the long form. And I think the Census Bureau may have made a big mistake not leaving the term census in the title of the American Community Survey, because this is a place that people go. They used to go to long form for most of the data, like money, education, disability, veteran status, immigration, birthplace, all those sorts of things. And those are no longer being collected by the census on the formal 2010 census, but are now being collected by the American Community Survey. So in December, the census made the huge, biggest release in its history of data. It's like, I think it was something like twelve billion data elements were released on December 14th, and these data come from that.
And so, listeners, you can see the data set and start playing around with it at our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show and look for the New Littles Project. Explore. You'll see the instructions there for exploring the sheets in the data set. Now, you choose a 20% cutoff, Andrew, for your purposes. That is, that's the threshold that turns a neighborhood from, say, having a bunch of Costa Ricans to being Little San Jose.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it certainly is a place where there's becoming a large concentration of a group, because you have to realize, I mean, even the Chinese are just, say, a few percentage points of New York, or of specific Hispanic groups are only a few percentage points. So if you get to about 20 or 30%, you're already way above, the typical percentage. And what does happen over time is that, you know, as people move in and people move out, those areas become more and more concentrated with a specific group. An example, and I don't even know if it's on our sheet, we accidentally found three blocks from my office in the middle of the 2000, what could be called a little Kabul, which was the most highly concentrated area of Afghans of the United States.
Near Queens College?
Right, just down the block. I mean, they were in this really dumpy three-story walk-ups. They're still there, and they were basically settled there as refugees. And, you know, if you look around, you go up and there's you can see a second-floor mosque, you know, street-side mosque. There's a few kebab shops. And then if you drive around, you can see people in Afghan garb wandering around the neighborhood. And so this is the story of New York, you know, if you go over time. I mean, various groups move in. They do get concentrated, particularly when they first arrive. And then eventually they may move to the suburbs, you know, or move somewhere else in New York and in a less concentrated area. But I think we're seeing this once again and very strongly.
So it's the new littles. Let's go through some phone callers real quick, just people calling in from around the city, identifying their areas as possibly the new little something, like Isadora in Astoria. Hi, Isadora. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you for calling.
Absolutely. I just wanted to say that Astoria, like from 36th Avenue to Broadway, it's chock full of Brazilians. We have restaurants and stores, and you'll hear Portuguese spoken a lot of the times on the street just walking down.
Thank you very much. So maybe a little Brazil in part of Astoria. Akram on Ocean Parkway, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello, Brian. Love your show. I'm calling from Brooklyn, Ocean Parkway. Ocean Parkway is being loaded basically with people from former Soviet Republic, which is called Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan, and specifically from a little city from Uzbekistan called Samarkand. It's like you're going to see everybody speaking basically that city. They speak Persian, having new restaurants, and amazingly, you walk down the street in the Ocean Parkway and around the vicinity, you're going to see a lot of the people speaking in that specific language, which is Persian and also Russian.
Thank you very much. Little Central Asia, little Uzbekistan along Ocean Parkway. Jana in the Bronx, in the High Bridge area. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Good morning. Well, ours is definitely turning into little Senegal and more generally little West Africa. There are tons and tons of Francophone West Africans living in my neighborhood, which is sort of up on the hill right next to Yankee Stadium. And I, being an opera singer, speak both French and Spanish, and I speak as much French and as much Spanish in my neighborhood as I do English. It's really quite amazing.
How about that? That's great. Thank you very much. One more. Ilana in Inwood. You're on WNYC. Hi. Ilana, are you there?
Yeah, hi. I'm here. It's funny you got me after this other woman. This is really not an ethnic thing. I'm in Inwood, and I'm talking for Inwood and Washington Heights as a new little opera singer area and also classical music and other arts people. Because we've been kind of priced out and, in my opinion, chased out of other parts of Manhattan.
It's the new Little Greenwich Village in Inwood and Washington Heights.
But also Washington Heights, I think, probably even more so.
Ilana, thank you very much. All right. So now, everybody who just called, probably except Ilana, because she doesn't technically qualify. I want you to go to our website, excuse me, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and help us create this map and this data set. Work with the tools that you'll see there and post what you've got. Andrew Beveridge, any reflection on any of those? Little Brazil and part of Astoria. Of course, we think of Astoria as Little Greece.
Well, there is definitely a Brazilian concentration in Astoria. Now, Astoria actually never was that Greek. It always was a mixed area. And I remember one time a State Department visitor come from Brazil, and the chaperone had a stop where this person was talking about because she wanted to buy something for her mother that could only be bought there. I mean, and they were both Brazilian. I mean, one was a Brazilian immigrant, the other was a Brazilian from Brazil.
Right.
And then in terms of the Africans, there's been a huge increase in Africans as immigrants in the United States. In fact, we're really reflecting that in New York, both the Francophone and the Anglophone Africans are here. And it's very, very interesting to see what will happen. I've run into Africans I've run into second generation. In fact, one person who was his mother was Ghanaian and his father was a Kenyan. So, you know, I think those groups are kind of coalescing a little
bit. Now, let's take the last 5 minutes of this segment, as we will be looking closely at some of these changing neighborhoods throughout the project every Thursday this month, and start with Chinatown. Jeff Yang also joins us. He's the Asian pop columnist at the San Francisco Chronicle and the man behind a new project called Our Chinatown, a hyperlocal blog focused on the Chinatown community here in New York. Hey, Jeff, welcome back to WNYC.
Always great to be back.
So the not-so-simple question is, where exactly is Chinatown?
It's everywhere. It's Chinatown is in the heart. The simple initial question, of course, is that there are many Chinatowns. And the Chinatown that we're focusing on with Our Chinatown org is, of course, Manhattan, the mothership. But over the last decade or so, what we've seen is that as the immigrant population of Chinatown in Manhattan, in New York, has expanded and has evolved, and other ethnic groups and dialect groups, people are speaking distinct sort of sub-languages other than Cantonese and Toishanese, who were the primary ones of the initial wave of immigrants. You know, you've seen people moving out of the primary Chinatown and into other, you know, boroughs and other regions, into the suburbs and into Brooklyn and Queens. So Flushing, obviously, is a huge Chinatown matrix. But we're also seeing in Sunset Park, of course, a third Chinatown has robustly grown. And then we're seeing, you know, the sort of a jockeying of position for fourth and fifth Chinatowns in Bay Ridge and in Bensonhurst. And there's actually something really interesting about why it is in Brooklyn, especially in the Bensonhurst, Bay Ridge, and Sunset Park areas, people have started to flock into those regions. And it's not what you'd guess. I mean, a lot of times transportation is really critical. Obviously, you want to be close to the mothership by subway and so forth. But for Chinese, actually, Sunset Park had a specific distinction. It was on 8th Avenue. And the number 8 has a very specific traditional kind of prosperity connotation among Chinese. And if you look at Bensonhurst and Bay Ridge, the communities there, they're around 86th Street and 18th, right? So again, those 8s and 8s and 6s, all of which have these kind of like connotations of prosperity and wealth and so forth, have drawn Chinese immigrants.
Are the 4 or 5 Chinatowns in New York City culturally different from each other?
They are. I mean, obviously, the primary Chinatown still has a very strong connection with its roots as this kind of first wave, mostly Cantonese or Southern Chinese community. But you'll see in Sunset Park and in other areas more Mandarin speakers, as well as, you know, people from parts of China that are you know, even a little more esoteric, you know. And as a result, if you go to the establishments, restaurants and so forth there, you'll get a very different taste experience from, you know, sort of the traditional Chinese restaurant you might see in Chinatown.
And yeah, I think there's like two groups that I think one thing that should be mentioned. I have a former colleague who's now at SUNY Albany, and he was studying the increase of Fujianese in New York, which is from a specific province in China, and they came in, you know, as immigrants, usually farther down the ladder. At the other side, though, the Bayside area, which Jeff hasn't really mentioned, I remember right after or right at the time that Hong Kong was being absorbed by the mainland, there was a huge increase in Chinese in Bayside, and I think they're really chasing the school system.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And in our data set, Manhattan's Chinatown still has the highest concentration, but the next two highest census tracts are in Sunset Park.
No, that would make a lot of sense.
So, as we begin to run out of time here, Andrew Beveridge, I just want to reinforce to everybody that we're going to have you on every Thursday this month, and there happen to be 5 Thursdays in the month of June, so this is going to be a very robust series on the new Littles, looking at different ethnic communities that are burgeoning in and around New York City. We did a little Chinatown here with Jeff Yang. Jeff, thank you very much. Check out his hyperlocal blog focused on the Chinatown community called Our Chinatown. And we want everybody, if you think you know of something, to help us build a map and help us build a data set of the new Littles in New York. So just go to our website, WNYC.org, and click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you'll see the data set. You can look at census tract to census tract, try to identify. You can find the area where you live or an area that you visit that you're interested in, and just write down some comments that pertain to what you see, and then later in the month we'll build it out as hopefully a beautiful map. So, Andrew Beveridge,
we'll try to help you on that, Brian, also.
That's good. And
so we could try to post it on the Social Explorer site as well.
That would be great. And who knows what we may find as Little Italy shrinks, the little Kabul, the little Santiago, the little Lima, the little Uzbekistan that we heard about on this call-in. So, listeners, go and do it. Help us build this map and this narrative. And we'll be back with Andrew Beveridge every Thursday all this month to help do it. Andrew, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much.
Andrew Beveridge, demographer from Queens College and the CUNY Graduate Center. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.